This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 47 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this inshallah, this week and next week will be the last 2 weeks of the series. We hope to end off next week with episode 50 inshallah. Therefore, we encourage those of you who have been following the series to please send through your comments, your concerns, anything for us that we can benefit inshallah, that can go forward. This could be a sadaqatul jariyah. You could make a suggestion that would impact many, many lectures afterwards, that would impact many hundreds, thousands of lives inshallah, and that is your share of that reward. So if you have any areas in which we can improve, any comments you'd like to give, any things we should continue doing, please share that with us inshallah. And if you have any suggestions for forthcoming lectures, so we will begin a new series after this is completed. If there's a specific topic that is dear to your heart, certain questions that you have been wondering about, then please send us through some suggestions that we've received already. A series on the biography of the Prophet ﷺ. So they've said we've studied the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. We'd like to know more about the man himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some have said, you know, we haven't been to madrasa or maktab, as we call it, since our childhood days. The fundamental basics of Islam in terms of beliefs, in terms of how to perform salah, in terms of tahara, back to basics, we'd like a course on that. That has been discussed. Some more controversial areas in terms of questions relating to the 21st century, questions about religion to begin with. Many of our youngsters, we find, sadly, are pulling away from religion. Is religion even relevant today? So these kind of questions to be addressed. And others have asked about qiyamah, the end of times, jinn, and these kind of interesting topics. All of those things to be taken into consideration. And we actually hope to do a poll. And this is open to those Quran al-Islam listeners, and of course those who are listening on radio, Voice of the Cape, please send through your suggestions. Perhaps the radio can do a poll as well. And those, the topic which is most desirable, inshallah, that will be our new series once this series is completed. Back to our discussion on the women around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After completing the biographies of our 12 mothers in Islam, then we spoke about controversial issues pertaining to feminism and Islam, and the question of does Islam oppress women. Last week we spoke about certain contradictions that might appear to some within the Sharia, certain laws which favor men, and these were discussed. For example, polygamy: why can a man marry four wives? Why can a Muslim man marry a Christian woman, but vice versa is not permissible? We discussed some of those controversial areas about husbands and wives in terms of the Sharia. And so today, inshallah, we continue with those sort of awkward kind of questions. And, you know, subhanAllah, it is better for you to ask those questions than to wonder about them and to be confused about them. As I always say, we live in an age where you can't escape difference of opinions anymore. You'll be exposed, or your kids will be exposed, to atheism, communism, different religions, different beliefs. The question marks or the grey areas in the Sharia will definitely be asked. Your kids will be asked those questions. And we have the answers. Well, alhamdulillah, the Sharia has the answers. So we shouldn't be afraid to ask. As Prophet ﷺ says, the cure for the one who is, you know, ignorant is to ask the question. So ask the question. If there's anything burning in your heart that you're not sure about, why does the Sharia allow this? Then ask those questions, inshallah. Today we talk about a few very, very controversial areas, and we begin with perhaps the most controversial issue, and that is with regards to the beating of wives or beating women in Islam. So this is a very clear question. Someone will say, your religion promotes the physical abuse of women. And you say, subhanAllah, how is that true? The Islam will never ever promote that. Then the person will say, well, look at Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, verse 34. Allah subhanAllah says in this verse, in a long verse, we'll get to the entire verse, but Allah mentions towards the end of the verse, Allah says, those wives from whom you fear disobedience, then first you should advise them, and if they persist, then forsake them in the bed, don't sleep with them, and finally if they continue, then strike them, fadribuhun, then hit them, wadribuhun, and strike them. So Allah clearly says this word in the Quran, Surah Nisa, verse 34. Now you open the Quran, and it might be a shock to you, subhanAllah, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourage men to beat their wives? Let us understand this ayah and let us explain this verse in detail. So Allah begins the verse by saying, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that men are the ones that are entrusted to care for, to love for, to protect, to maintain. This word قوام, we said it many times, it is like Allah uses a similar word, وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. And with regards to salah, it is not just perform salah, it is establish your salah, look after your salah, care for your salah, be very careful with regards to your salah. Allah uses the same word, O men, you need to care, maintain, love, respect, look after the women in your life. Allah doesn't say your wives, He says the women, meaning beyond just your wife, your mother, your daughter. So all the women that you are responsible for, you should maintain and care for them. And Allah explains, بِمَا فَضَّلَ بَعْدُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, that because Allah has given men, in many a case, that they are financially better, financially they are the providers, so Allah has made it such that as men, your duty is to provide physically and financially to maintain the women in your life. And then Allah speaks in the next section of this ayah, فَالصَّالِحَاتْ قَانِتَاتْ حَافِذَاتْ لِلْغَيْبِ مَا حَافِذَ اللَّهِ. Allah speaks about the good women, that good men look after the women, and the good women that they are respectful, they are righteous, they are obedient, they, even when their husbands are not there, these are good women, and therefore Allah says you need to be very, you know, cautious in how you look after these devout women in your life. So then Allah speaks, the ayah continues, what about the women that are not good? So your wife that is not a good wife. So Allah says, وَاللَّاتِ, as for the lady, تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنْ, you fear from her nushuz. Now nushuz is not just disobedience. The word Allah uses here, a lady who has a certain lewdness to her. Nushuz is a type of disobedience where she is perhaps flirtatious with other men. So Allah says, what if you have a wife that, you know, has gone beyond the limits of what is permissible? She's alone with certain men. She's having conversations with certain men. How does a husband respond to a woman like this? Then Allah says, first, فَعِذُهُنْ, then speak to her, advise her, discuss with her, say this is not permissible. If she persists, now again, this is not just she burnt the acne, or she doesn't want to make you a cup of tea. This is a woman that is really going overboard. Allah says, speak to her nicely. And if she doesn't obey, and she continues with this behavior, وَحَجُرُهُنْ, then فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ, then stay away from her, shun her in the bed. Meaning, say, you know, now I'm going to give, as we say, silent treatment, or the cold treatment. I'm not going to be intimate with you to show you I'm not happy. And then if she still continues, subhanAllah, she's still having, you know, illicit relationships, I said this is short of zina, this is not zina, but this is before that. And then, and she continues, then Allah says, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ, then Allah uses the word, وَضْرِبُوهُنْ, and which is translated by many as, hit her, strike her. And then Allah continues, and we'll talk about this word now in a minute, just to complete the ayah. Allah says, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ, but if this lady, she now reforms herself, and she becomes a good wife, فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا, then you have no reason against her in any way. Absolutely nothing you can do, no way of reprimanding her at all. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا كَبِيرًا. And remember that Allah is grand, and He's big, and He's exalted, and He sees everything that you do. So this ayah speaks about the good husband, how he looks after his women. And Allah speaks about the good wife, the good woman, how she treats her husband. And then Allah speaks about how a husband should treat a very, very woman that is extremely out of bounds in terms of her lewdness. How should he treat her? And then Allah says, for him, he first speaks to her. And if she doesn't listen, then he avoids her, he shuns her. And if she continues, then Allah uses the word darb. Now what does the word darb mean? Does it mean hit? Now the word darb has multiple meanings in the Quran. Even in the Quran, you find, for example, yes, in the Quran, it means to strike and to beat painfully. Surah number 8 verse 50 is an example, darb. And in reality, the most common usage of the word daraba is to hit, to strike. But there are other meanings. For example, in Surah 57, verse 13, Allah speaks about on the day of Qiyamah that there would be that Allah will darb, meaning He will build a barrier between the believers and the munafiqs. That a barrier will be erected. So the darb used here is means to build a barrier, which is appropriate in this ayah, that there should be a barrier built between you and the woman, although it's a tafsir that is on the side, on the periphery. Another example of this is in Surah Zukhruf, verse number 5, which is even more appropriate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who are sending them the message, أَفَنَضْرِبُ عَنْكُمُ الذِّكْرَ صَحَفًا أَن كُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُسْرِفِينَ. So Allah says, should we then disregard this message completely? So the word darbiya actually means to completely disregard, or to completely reject, or to turn away completely. Now again, if we were to look in the context of this ayah, so Allah says you have this woman that is really out of bounds, she's very lewd, she's very promiscuous, then speak to her, she doesn't listen, avoid her partially, and if she still doesn't listen, then completely turn her away, meaning divorce her. And that is the tafsir of some of the scholars, Of course, there are others that say darb actually means hit, which is the most common view. But even on that, how should we hit? Even for those who do say this verse means to hit, or how do we explain this? Now, it was asked of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas, one of the great sahabi, and especially in tafsir, and he says, when Allah speaks about darb, we should look at how Allah said to Nabi Ayyub. So, story of Nabi Ayyub, we know that Allah tested Nabi Ayyub, losing his wealth, losing his children, losing everything. He became very sick. The only person that was with him was his wife. And to some point, she also sort of lost hope in Allah, and she said to Nabi Ayyub, you know, why is Allah doing this to you? Why is Allah testing you like this? And he became very frustrated with her, and he told her, leave, I don't want you to be here. And then he said, I swear by Allah, if I had the strength, now he was so weak, he couldn't even move, I would strike you 100 times. I would hit you 100 times for saying this. So she left him, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him. Now he says, Ya Allah, I made a vow. I said, I swear by Allah, I'm going to hit you 100 times. What must I do? My wife came back. So Allah says to Nabi Ayyub, and this is in surah number 38, verse 40, Allah says, and take in your hand, O Ayyub, a handful of grass. So pluck a handful of grass, and tap your wife with this grass, and don't break your oath. So you said you're going to hit her 100 times, hit her once, with 100 blades of grass, not hit, just tap her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and here Allah also says, fadrib, hit her with it, they use the same word, darb, yeah? And this is the hitting which Allah then encourages. So subhanAllah, as we said, those who say the word darb means to hit, they go further and say it cannot be more than what Nabi Ayyub did. Meaning, if your wife is having inappropriate affairs, I said short of zina, the most you can do, according to the extreme scholars, the most you can do is take some grass and tap her and say, this is a symbol of how unhappy I am with you. It is a symbol of my displeasure. Others have said, obviously, a woman like that, you should just divorce altogether. So this is a clear indication that to hit a woman and to cause any harm to her, a hit that causes any pain, is completely haram. Everyone agrees to that. And in fact, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, women did come to the Prophet ﷺ and said, look how my husband has beat me. And then the Prophet says to those men, what kind of men are you? Or what kind of thinking is there? How does one beat his wife like he beats his animal, and then he wants to sleep with her in the night? What kind of man does that? You love her, but at the same time you're beating her. And then the Prophet ﷺ clearly said in Sahih Muslim, a very clear hadith, do not hit the female servants of Allah. Do not hit the female servant of Allah. And Aisha says, never in his life did Nabi ﷺ strike a woman, or a child, or a slave, or an animal. The only time he raised his hand was in jihad. This is the only time he raised his hand to any other creation of Allah. So this is very clear from the sunnah, that the hitting of a wife is completely haram. And subhanAllah, you know, doing marriage counseling, you get many situations where husbands hit their wives, and wives hitting their husbands, things are being thrown. All of this is haram. This is not permissible in Islam. And if your marriage gets to that level, where there's physical abuse between each other, then you need to ask yourself, is this marriage good for me? If you've lost that basic level of respect and care, basic respect, then of course, subhanAllah, then perhaps this marriage is in very, very serious danger. And you should think about then at least divorce in a nice way. It is better than to get divorced than to live in a sinful marriage where you are abusing one another. So in summary, if someone opens the Quran and says, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hit your wives, we say clearly that word darab has many, many meanings. It could mean divorce. It could mean separate from her. Even if we take the interpretation that it means to hit, then we look at the sunnah. What kind of hit? We hit like Nabi Ayyub hit his wife, a handful of grass, and you tap once, and that's it. And some might ask, well, that is silly. What is the purpose of that hit in any case? The purpose is symbolic. The purpose is symbolic. One sheikh, for example, he mentions that to get a hiding from your grandmother, or rather just to get a tap on the leg by your grandmother, is so much more painful than to get a hiding from your parents. Why? Because you know, granny never hits. No matter what you do, granny's always gonna be kind and merciful to you. But if you upset granny so much that she actually gives you a light tap on the bum, you feel so sad, you know, because granny, this person will never hurt me. And that's the relationship you should have with your husband, that subhanAllah, my husband cares about me, loves me so much, that if he does this thing as a symbolic gesture, now I know how serious this matter is. So inshallah, lots more to discuss. I can't go into much further detail on this matter, but if you have any questions on that, please send through the questions. The next controversial discussion, it might not be so relevant to us here in Cape Town, but to other people around the world, and this is an issue that is very prominent in the Western media, is with regards to female circumcision. Female circumcision, or what is commonly known as female genital mutilation, FGM. And what does Islam say about this? So let's get some background knowledge on this issue. So for us, in the culture I come from as well, it's not common that a female is circumcised. For the men, the boys, it's obviously very clear, they circumcise the foreskin over the tip of the penis. This is common amongst the Jews and the Muslims as well, and is the practice really from Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. As for the sisters, we find that circumcision is something which is practiced in many communities, and yes, it was even practiced in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So Aisha, a very famous hadith, she says, when the two circumcised parts, meaning the circumcised part of the male and the circumcised part of the female, touch, then ghusl becomes compulsory. So we might ask, what exactly is circumcised here? What from the sister is removed? Now, for those who are familiar, those who are married, or the sisters, you know, the sister has an organ called the clitoris, and there are certain parts of the clitoris that is removed in terms of circumcision, or just a slight piece of skin, a wood, just above the clitoris that should be removed, that is removed. And this is the practice of certain cultures. Now the question is, what is Islam's view on this? What is Islam's view on this? In modern societies or certain cultures, what they do is they remove the clitoris completely. They cut the entire organ off. Why do they do this? Because this is an organ which is part of the sexuality of the lady. It gives her sexual pleasure. It's a part that is an erotic part of the body, and it gives enjoyment to the lady. So certain cultures see a woman that if she enjoys having intercourse, even with a husband, that this is something disgraceful, that a woman should not have any urges. So they remove this organ completely so that she becomes almost inert or frigid. And this is what they said, this is how a woman should be. She shouldn't enjoy intercourse. And that's why they do it. Now, Islam is against this completely. Islam is against this completely. Very clear hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that it is compulsory for the males to be circumcised. As for the sisters, it's an optional, honorable thing. This hadith, there's some issues on the grading. But what is very clear, there's another hadith which is even more clear. There was a lady who used to practice circumcision of girls in Medina. This hadith you found in Abu Dawood. And the Prophet says to her, do not abuse, do not go extreme in your circumcision of the girls. Because why? It is better for her to enjoy this intercourse so that she may have a sex drive. It's better for her, and it will be better for her husband one day. One day when she gets big, it's good for her husband. So don't go to extreme. So firstly, from the Sharia perspective, female circumcision is an optional thing and not required. Number two, it should not be done with the intention of removing her sex drive. Rather, as some have said, a certain skin, similar like the boy's circumcision, it is for hygiene purposes. If there's any skin above the clitoris, then this little film of skin is removed, like the foreskin of the boy. Never is the circumcision of the boys done to diminish his sexual power. The circumcision is an issue of hygiene, and similarly for the sisters, it is only meant for hygiene, but it's also an optional thing. As for those who, as we said, circumcise for the purpose of removing her sexuality, then this is completely haram. We even said Islam encourages both men and women within their marriage to be sexual. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged men to fulfill the desires of the wife. He has said so many times that the wife also has desires. Very clear hadith, he says, don't begin having intercourse with her like an animal. Rather start off with foreplay, give her kind words and kisses. And he made it makruh, something you might not have known. It is makruh for a husband, and some have said it's haram, for a husband to withdraw himself if he has satisfied his urges during intercourse and his wife is unsatisfied. That it is not permissible for him to remove himself until she is satisfied, because this is one of the requirements of marriage. One of his duties as a husband is to satisfy her. So for any group to try and remove this from a sister, it is backwards, it is not Islamic. So this is with regards to female circumcision, and as we said, Islam permits female circumcision if it's done correctly, but totally against female genital mutilation. This is against the Sharia and against our religion. The last question, one that is not so difficult to discuss, is with regards to the share of inheritance of the sister. So we know that in certain situations, a sister will receive half the share of a brother. So if a father dies and he leaves a boy and a girl, he has 100 rand all he has is a son and a daughter, then the daughter will get 33 rand, and the boy will get 67 or 66 rand. She will get a third, and he will receive two thirds. So the basic rule, one of the rules of inheritance, is that لِذَكْرُ مِثْلَ حَذِ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that for the male, there is double the share of the girl. Now this is of course seen as, this is unfair. Why does the girl get half of that of a boy? To make it clear, not every situation does a female receive half of that of a male. You find certain situations, the mother and the father, for example, might inherit together one third each. So your mother and your father receives the same share. In another scenario, the father passes away. He has a, you know, he has a brother and he leaves a daughter. In this case, the daughter will receive half the inheritance. And the other parties will have to share in that. So we say that if a man passes away, he leaves a mother, a father, a daughter. Daughter will receive a half, and whatever is left will be shared between the mother and the father. So here the daughter receives more than her grandfather. So there's a lot of discussion in terms of the scenarios. But in general, if we say yes, that a son will receive more than his sister, why is that? Because just as Allah had favored the girls in some areas, here Allah balances it out by giving preference to the men. How is that so? So we said, when the girl gets married, she receives a dowry, and she can name any dowry she wants. Also, once she is married, she has no financial obligations. Her husband needs to provide for her. So her money is for her. Her dowry is for her. Whereas the son, your son will one day get married. He has to maintain this woman, and he has to share from his money these women. Let's take it further. Once a father passes away, may Allah protect us, and he leaves a son and a daughter. Yes, the son will receive two-thirds of the inheritance, and she will receive one-third. But now this brother is responsible for his sister. So she takes her one-third, and that is for her to use as she wants. She can buy clothing with it, she can spend it on however she wants, even if she wants to, in a way, purely for herself of enjoyment, permissible. But when it comes to her needs, her food, her clothing, her shelter, her brother needs to provide for her. So from his two-thirds, he needs to maintain his mother, he needs to maintain his sister, he needs to maintain his wife. So when we begin to look at actually what comes back to the man, in reality, the sisters are still, they have a much higher favoritism, as we could say in the Sharia, through her dowry, through her inheritance, and through the ayah which we just recited, that every woman should be maintained by a specific man, either her husband, her father, her brother. They will always have her financial needs, will be the responsibility of the wali of her in her life. And that is how Islam has been structured. So the inheritance, yes, the brother receives more, but the mouths he needs to feed with that inheritance is so much more than that of the sisters, that it might actually come out to that the sister, the women in the Sharia are financially better off than the men. May Allah grant us understanding. May Allah grant us to better understand these issues. And as I said, any questions that you'd like to know, any things that were not explained clearly, please message me, westmuhammad@gmail.com. And I hope to hear from you in terms of potential series after this series is completed next week. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.